Hello and welcome to the Loving Truth Podcast. Connor joined by Mike, and we're excited to be with you today. We haven't recorded in a while, Mike, so it's good to be back doing this again. And today we're going to talk about the topic, trusting Christ in trauma. So Mike, I'm going to let you kind of put some guardrails around that term in a moment. But just talking about trauma, when that level of intensity comes to your doorstep, you know, which isn't common, isn't something that's happening all the time, but sometimes it does. And trauma or experiencing traumatic things, that's the right way to describe that. So we just want to talk about it today. Maybe this is something to just have in the back pocket for when that time comes, or maybe as you're listening, you'd say, I'm even able to reference something in the past or now that maybe this would apply to. But Mike, let me just start with this. Trauma, it's a word that gets thrown around a lot. Maybe lightly sometimes, or maybe it's applied to things that really actually aren't traumatic. Of course, it's just a word, so you know, there's flexibility there. But can you just maybe can you describe what you would have in mind when you talk about trusting Christ in trauma or in traumatic times? What are we talking about when we use that word trauma, and what kind of guardrails would you put on people using that word or kind of thinking in that way?
Yeah, as we were talking earlier, you know, I was a bit reticent to use the term because I was a bit cautious. I don't know if that's the word I wanted to use, but cautious to use the term. It has become very familiar. It is not a term I use in my everyday vocabulary. I don't think probably any of us do a lot. It's something that you kind of reserve it for, like, you know, you mentioned the level of intensity of situations. I think about distress. I think about unsettling circumstances that either causes some sort of emotional or even physical harm. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for example, I just thought of this, but my friend Mason that went through trauma physically because he had a horrible motorcycle accident where he almost died, and two of his primary injuries would, for most people, end in death. And, you know, you see him today, and by the grace of God, you just say, praise God, this guy is walking around. He's you know, much stronger than me. And it's like,
man,
the guy has regained his, you know, muscle mass and other things. And it's like, well, just praise God for his goodness in sparing his life. And this guy has a renewed, you know, heart for the gospel, for Jesus, for life in general. And he had a great heart for the Lord beforehand, you know. But I look at that and I think he went through trauma. And it was physical, and then, but also it was emotional and mental and spiritual. But I guess when I'm using the term, I'm thinking more along the lines, and this is where we have to be careful when we use a term, but more along the lines of going through something that is in a spiritual context as a Christian that has created a lot of upheaval in your heart, such that it's at the forefront. There's an injury or something, and again, I want to be careful how I say this, but I said earlier, you don't want to just jump on the trigger train, okay? The idea that certain people are going to be very attuned to this and always think that things are triggering them. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, my heart goes out to people that are that sensitive and their hearts are wired that way, okay? I'm not blaming them in any way. What I'm saying is, I'm talking maybe about the general population of Christians that don't realize they've gone through trauma. Okay, maybe that's what I'm trying to say.
Interesting, yeah.
Okay, and so let me give you an example. A good friend of mine, I had him come and speak to a group of our leaders at Grace. And he's a respected Christian leader, very humble man. And without going into too many details, he addressed our group. We were in my living room. It was last March. And he just said, you as a group have been through trauma. I remember thinking to myself, because he had said it to me the night before as we were driving home from a conference. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not crossed my mind before. That, like, it didn't just, that has never crossed my mind in this instance. And he goes, well, that's exactly what you've been through. And it was kind of settling in on me, you know, like when you're watering in your yard or something, and you're watering like hard ground and the water doesn't really sink in and you just go, oh, it's just running off. But actually, it started sinking. It felt like that at first. I'm like, I still can't grasp this whole idea of like, I've been through trauma, or that our leadership team has been through trauma. And then it kind of started sinking in a little bit. I'm like, I'm not going to use the word a lot. Like, for example, that was March, and I probably used the word four or five times since then.
Yeah.
To share that with someone. And then I used it again yesterday with someone that I said, you know, you've been through trauma, and let me tell you why I'm using this word. And I kind of gave this example to them, mm-hmm. went in a little more depth.
Hmm.
And but here's the context I'm looking at it in. In the context of the comfort we have in Christ, okay, that I think that trauma needs to be seen through the lens of comfort in Christ, because Christ comforts the afflicted. And so that's where we're going to go.
Yeah. 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 Before we go to that, I was just going to add, I mean, you know, this isn't a biblical word. I don't think you see trauma in the Bible, maybe in some translations, but I can't think of anything in, like, you know, the ESV or whatever. So I just Googled it, you know, just to kind of see what is kind of the working, you know, definition out there. This is just what Google gave back to me. Trauma is an experience that causes physical or emotional harm and has lasting adverse effects on a person's mental, physical, social, and emotional well-being. And maybe you could even say, you know, mental, physical, social, or emotional well-being, because it's not always all those things. Mm-hmm. But then it also added, which I think is helpful, Mike, it can result from a single event, acute trauma, such as a car accident or something like that, or prolonged events, complex trauma,
mm-hmm.
And a more of a chronic, you know, kind of experience of suffering. So yeah. That's helpful, because even the two examples you mentioned, the instance in which that leader was applying the word to what the elders have gone through at Grace, that was a more of a complex, prolonged experience rather than a single event. But somebody else might have, like the motorcycle accident that you mentioned, mm-hmm. that's trauma that's coming in a moment, you know, yeah. from something very intense. So that might be where you say, hey, sometimes maybe a Christian hasn't come to terms with what they've experienced, especially if it's more complex, maybe, mm-hmm. Or it's kind of an amalgamation of various, you know, factors that have come together to create this prolonged, difficult experience emotionally, physically, socially.
Mm-hmm.
That can kind of maybe frame things. So then, you know, with that in mind, how do I endure, you know, persevere through and in experiences of trauma with mm-hmm. the comfort that's in Christ? So I'll just pass it back to you now, Mike, and you can kind of take us into that. You know, what does comfort in Christ, how does it meet me
yeah.
when I'm experiencing trauma?
Okay. So comfort in Christ is applied. Okay, this is interesting. It's applied everywhere to the believer, but especially where needed. Okay? I think of my broken toe that I talk too much about on the left foot, the ring finger toe, mm-hmm. you know, the one, the second to the end mm-hmm. on the left. And I put ointment on it. I put this Arnica gel thing that Angela gets me in, and it helps. Okay? And I apply it to where it's needed. And so you apply the balm where it's needed, kind of thing. Now,
do you have a broken toe right now?
I did last like a year ago.
Okay.
And it didn't heal right. And so.
So now the
like just standing sometimes hurts.
Yeah.
But when I'm hiking, I'm okay for about 3 or 4 miles, sometimes 5 miles, and it doesn't hurt.
Okay.
But sometimes the bone feels like it's jabbing between bone, you know.
Oh man.
Like a bone spur. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Wow.
And I say that because it's like you put ointment on it. But there was trauma. There was like a lot of swelling and bruising at first yeah. when it first happened.
Yeah.
All that to say.
Now I remember that, by the way. Yes. All that to say,
the Bible, and we were right to mention this, you mentioned this, the Bible doesn't use the common modern term trauma, okay? But there's the stories, the passages in the scripture that describe and address traumatic experiences, right? So you think of people like David, Job, Jesus. You think of people that experienced violence, betrayal, loss, persecution. You think of all the things in the Bible that talk about the afflictions, the sufferings, the hardships. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. So what he's in essence saying, you're going to go through trauma. Okay. There'll be traumatic experiences. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's where I would go. And just in terms of applying the comfort, and I want to start us in 2 Corinthians 7. Okay. And then go back to 2 Corinthians 1. So we're going to go backwards. So Paul is in the context of having joy over the church repenting, okay? Because sometimes the whole church goes through trauma. Like Grace Church, we've gone through trauma as a church. And a lot of churches have. It could be the death of a person. It could be a church discipline situation. It could be someone who went wayward that was very connected. You know, there's a lot of things that could cause these kind of things spiritually, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he is telling a whole church, like, I am joyful because you all repented. You repented and I'm praising God, and here's the clear evidence that you repented. Mm-hmm. You were indignant over your own sin. You were trying to make it right in every way possible. All these things, right?
Yeah.
But he said this in 2 Corinthians 7:6. He says, God, okay, first of all, he said in verse 5, when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this internal, external, traumatic kind mm-hmm. of experience. He says, but verse 6, but God who comforts the downcast, okay, that's putting the balm where it's needed, okay, comforting the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, that I rejoiced even more. And you notice that verse, comfort, 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 comfort. Okay, there was all this comfort. And he's rejoicing now, because comfort brings rejoicing. It doesn't bring more pain. It eases the pain. But here's an interesting thing. You go back and you go, well, he's using this term comfort a lot. Where else have I heard this? Ah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Then he says this, which is a very, it could be startling when you think about it, who comforts us in all our affliction. Okay, let's stop. How much of our affliction does he comfort us in?
All.
All. How much do we feel? Not all.
Mm-hmm.
That means that God is comforting us in every affliction, even if we don't necessarily feel comfort. Now, mm-hmm. when your son or your daughter runs to you and says, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm scared," and you comfort them in your arms, that's an immediate. They feel it. They're reassured and they go. What I'm saying is that yes, there are lots of times that we are comforted by God and we feel the comfort. We feel it. Little palpably feel it. We read a Bible verse and it washes over our souls. We have this renewed sense of assurance and hope and all of these things, okay? But there are other times when we are still kind of disequilibriumed. I remember when I was in high school in 1978, my parents took us to Hawaii. And it was my only prolonged vacation I've ever been on Hawaii, okay, as a 10th grader. And I was body surfing on the Kona Coast, on the Big Island.
Uh-huh.
And I was all by myself. And I'm just a little high schooler, 10th grader, and I was little, and I got spun over and disequilibrium in the water. I was upside down,
yep.
And I hit, my head hit a reef, and I actually, to this day, have a dent right here in my head on the right side up here. There's a dent in my head, and it was because of that. And the thing is, I didn't know which way was up or down, right? Even when you're in this disequilibrium, what this verse is telling us is that we are comforted by God in all the affliction. And it says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You got comfort, 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 comfort again. But here's the thing. It says this in verse 5, as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort. So yes, we're going to go through trials and tribulations, and yes, we will be comforted. But here's the thing. You go, okay, you share. He says in verse 7, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. But then he goes on to recount something. And I'm going to pass it back to you in a moment on this. I'm going to ask you a question. He says, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers. The affliction we experienced in Asia, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. They wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And it says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. So help us by your prayers. We're going to be giving thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted through the prayers of many. It's an interesting thing that all these things kind of coalesce together, and you've got tribulations, you've got the comfort of Christ, you've got the prayers of the people of God, and you've got hope, you've got deliverance, and you've got not relying on yourself. So it seems to me that I'm being comforted by Christ all the time, in Christ. I feel it, I don't feel it, it's going on. He's holding me all the time. But once I don't trust in myself and in God who raises the dead, I begin to experience that comfort maybe at a deeper level than when I wasn't aware. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I know. I like, I mean, everything you're saying in terms of just drawing these things out of the passage is helpful. I'm kind of chewing on that idea of he comforts us in all our affliction. Obviously, that's true. That's what Paul says.
Yeah.
But I almost wonder if Paul might say, yeah, but if you don't avail yourself of that comfort, it's like you don't experience it. Like we could say there's a medicine for every sickness, but if you don't take the medicine, you're not getting the benefit, you know?
Right.
So I wonder if there's some of that. Like he's present. He never leave or forsake us. He always loves us. He's always wanting to draw us back into closeness with him. But there are times in which we, maybe in a sinful way, you know, or maybe in kind of a self-centered or self-dependent way, we don't avail ourselves of that. Right. And then we experience pain and the feelings that Paul's describing. We're so afflicted, you know, all this. But there's also times in which I think it's almost like maybe God, and this might be more to your point, Mike, God lets us go through painful circumstances and can even leave us at times feeling like we are on the outside, you know, but then he might bring us to a place where we finally, it's almost like there's a breaking through.
Right.
And then you come to this renewed clarity about his love, his provision, that we rely on him. He's able to raise the dead. It's like Paul's almost, it sounds like he's describing that we were burdened. And then suddenly it was like, we just collapsed and then found this new comfort in relying on Christ who raises the dead. So I feel like we can all relate to that where there's something that's, and this might not be a traumatic, you know, situation or experience, but even something that you're anxious about or worried about or stressed about, that you're just down. And then maybe even without exactly being able to pinpoint the reason, God just like reaches in and brings comfort, you know? Uh-huh. So that's some of what was that. Those are just some scattered thoughts, but let me pass it back to you. Do you agree with what I said or is there anything you'd want to add on?
Well, yeah, I think what you're saying is what we all experience. I think, so let me kind of dive down deeper into the carton of Moose Tracks ice cream and get some of those morsels
there
that
you
we're
go.
Looking for,
yeah.
Okay? So, okay, the question I think that's at the heart of this is the comfort for the Christian always felt? Okay? Now, I look back at Mason when he's in his trauma. I heard him scream louder than any human being I've ever heard scream when he was in the trauma center at UCI. The nurse was even looking at me and took me out of the room because she knew that she thought I was going to like pass out or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was disorienting me and I didn't want to be in the room because I was like, but I was praying for him. She's like, okay, take a deep breath, come out here with me. Okay. And she starts explaining some things to me. Here's the thing. Was he being comforted by the doctors? Absolutely. Did he feel the comfort? Absolutely not. Okay. I think the question is the comfort always felt? Okay. Okay. Think about this. When you take medicine, let's say you have a really bad headache and you go, I'm going to take some, you know,
Tylenol,
whatever. I didn't want to name the brands because I didn't want to do a commercial. But now they owe us money.
Sorry.
But no, it's okay. So you're going to take something for this headache. And you know that feeling where you go, okay, it's going to kick in a few few minutes or whatever, or an hour or whatever it is. You still have a sense of comfort that I just did that and it's going to get better. Okay. I think that comfort isn't always felt in the Christian life. Let me give you an example. Okay, let me give you another word picture. When you know the cavalry's coming, back in the old days, the cavalry is coming. We know they're on the way, okay?
Yeah.
But you're not free yet, but you see them coming. You can see the cloud in the air, and you know, okay? It's fact in Christian life, it's fact over feelings. Tell yourself the truth, okay? So it doesn't hinge on our feeling or experience, but where we go, we look back and go, I was always in God's hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Like Job, I think he's admitting at the, you know, in Job 42, he's admitting, I repent in dust and ashes because literally I was always in God's hands.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself that this idea of he comforts us in all of our affliction is absolutely true. And we don't always avail ourselves of the actual experience of it, but it doesn't mean we're not experiencing it.
Yeah. That I agree. I mean, because he's meeting us in ways that we're not recognizing. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah,
and the Christian
life
doesn't hinge on our feelings or our experience.
Right.
It hinges on the truth.
And there's a directness in that. He's working in our hearts by his spirit, encouraging us. You know, he's meeting us in that way. But there's also he's working through the church, you know.
Yeah.
And providence and circumstances for sure. But I think that if you just think about different places in the New Testament that describe the ministry of believers to each other, there's that too. So maybe my experience through a situation is, oh, I'm down. But I look back and I realize God was putting people always around me, you know, in addition to the direct comfort.
Yeah.
He's putting people who walk through that with me, who bore the burden with me, even when it felt like it was just down, down, down. Yeah, I think we're moving toward a close, Mike, but just maybe if I could recenter us on the idea of trauma. Let's say someone's listening and they do feel like they've gone through something that really was traumatic and they're continuing to experience the effects of that, maybe emotionally, maybe physically, in different areas of their life. Can you just address that person, you know, with the hope that's in Christ and with any encouragements that you want to give them in terms of here's what it looks like to walk through that as a believer?
Yes. I would say this: hope in Christ above all. Hope in Christ. Tell the truth to your soul. Give yourself large doses of truth and then let it sink in. And tell friends. And don't just tell friends, rely on friends. I think about Habakkuk 3, where he says, even if there's no cattle in the stall, even if everything, you know, falls apart, I am still going to praise God. So keep praising God. Like, keep hoping in Christ. Keep telling your soul the truth, but keep telling and relying upon friends. I think about Job when he says, I know my Redeemer lives, and he's going to take his stand upon the earth. Like, I know it. And this was in the midst of the depths. I think the idea, you know, even the psalmist, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm in the depths. I haven't been rescued from drowning, and I'm crying out to you. Or, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Like, I'm going to be in the worst spot, and I'm still going to trust. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you could say, but wait, I'm not being, like, honest. That's not how I really feel. All I can tell you is we are told over and over again in Scripture, hope in Christ, and literally tell yourself the truth. Let your mind be renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But again, I think a key is in fellowship with the church, telling your friends and letting them carry you, letting them keep reminding you, letting them, and then, you know, not having it be just about you. Obviously, you're going to go back to 2 Corinthians 1. God comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. You know, it's all and any there, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by Christ. And again, we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. We will share abundantly in comfort too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. I'm going to start to bring us in for landing. I'm going to mention one more thing and then we'll close, everybody who's listening. But you know, my thought too, Mike, is just like, I think there's a sense in which as believers, we just, you know, we set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Christ Jesus. And there are wounds that, you know, don't fully heal in this life as well, you know? So it's not like we push through a period of trauma and always expect that there's going to be a full return to what was before, you know? So that's just an idea. I think of like Peter saying, you know, after you've suffered a little while, the God of peace himself will comfort and strengthen and establish you. Or, you know, he says for a while, if necessary, you may be grieved by various trials. And it's showing the genuineness of your faith. So there are wounds that are met by the Lord and will ultimately be turned toward his glory and that will ultimately be fully healed from, you know, in eternity. But there can be a pain that just endures as well in this life from things. So just that was where I was going toward the end, thinking of that. But listeners, that's all we have. So I hope this was a good encouragement to you. Even again, just something to have in the back pocket, thinking about what might come in life. And we love you. If you're at Grace and we know you, we just appreciate you so much. Pray for you, and we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. God bless you and have a great day.